Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel, chapter 2. You know, just one more thing about that healthcare thing. I'm ticked. I am. You know, the amazing thing is the mainstream media is not covering what that guy said. Or when they do cover it, they're making excuses for him. They're all complicit. They're all complicit in this deception. And Al CNN and Al CBS and Al NBC, all of them, they're all in on it. It's, just drives me crazy. All right, I got to get my mind off of that. Joel 2. Joel 2. All right, let's begin reading in verse 1. Joel says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Now hold your place right there, and I want you to go over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Now if you remember, there are five major events that are discussed in the book of the Revelation. There is the rapture in chapter 4. There is the ruin, the tribulation period, the ruin in chapter 6 through chapter 18. There is the return in chapter 19, the second coming, the return of Christ. And then there is the reign, R-E-I-G-N, reign, 1,000-year millennial reign that is coming. And then there is, and that's in chapter 20. And then in chapter 21 and 22, restoration, new heaven, new earth. So five words that all begin with the letter R, rapture. These are all yet to happen. We are right now living in Revelation chapter 3. In the Laodicean age of the church, neither hot nor cold. You know, if somebody were to accuse us of being cold, we'd be offended. We'd be offended by that. And I think we have to admit that not all of our church is hot. If we were all on fire for God, then we could turn Carroll County upside down. An unsaved person walked in this building on Sunday, they wouldn't have a chance. I mean, they come running down the aisle. So we'd get offended if somebody called us cold. And we have to admit we're not all on fire for God. We're not all hot. So where would we place ourselves? Lukewarm. You know, we can get excited for a cause if we need to, you know. But where's our fire? You know, where's our zeal? Well, that's where we are right now. Revelation 3. But the next thing to happen is the rapture. That's your first R. And that's in chapter 4. Then ruin, 6 to 18. Description of the tribulation period and all that's going to happen. Return. And that's what I want to read right now. Chapter 19, verse 11. Here's what John saw. John the Revelator. This is what he saw after the tribulation period. Verse 11 says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." And you'll notice that those two words are capitalized. That's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the Faithful and True, is upon that white horse. It says, "And in righteousness he doth judge and make," what's the next word? War. All right, now, were we not just reading about a war over here in Joel 2? We were, weren't we? He said in Joel 2:7, "They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone in his own ways, and they shall not break their ranks." All right, so Joel is talking about a war. And now here is John, and he sees the Lord coming on a white horse out of heaven. He is the Faithful and True, and he doth judge and make war. And when John looked at him in verse 12, he said his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Wow. And what's the next word?
Armies.
Armies. Huh. And the armies which were in heaven. Well, let's see. Joel 2:11. It says, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his..." army. So Joel sees an army. Joel sees a war. John saw an army. And John saw a war. You reckon they're talking about the same thing? I do. They're both seeing the same thing. They're seeing the Lord come at His second coming, at His return. So verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, who are these armies in Joel 2? It's got to be us. It's got to be. Who is this army in verse 14 of Revelation 19? Well, it's got to be us. We are coming with Him when He returns. And then it says, out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, verse 15, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, let's go back to Joel. And I'm telling you that the battle and the war that Joel sees in Joel chapter 2 is the same one that John sees in chapter 19 of Revelation. And it is when the Lord returns at His second coming. All right, let's pray real quick. Our Father, help us tonight. Give us understanding. And Lord, may we tie Scripture with Scripture. I pray that, Lord, You will be the teacher tonight and just get us more convinced and more grounded in the Word of God and increase our faith tonight as a result of what we hear. So bless us, Lord. We need Your help now. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. All right, Joel gives us an amazing view of what he calls in verse 1, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Let me remind you that Paul said the day of the Lord is at hand. It's when you say something is at hand, it can be at hand in one of two ways. It can be at hand in regard to space. In other words, I would say, oh yeah, this glass of water is at hand. In other words, I can just reach and get it. All right, so the Lord is at hand in regard to space. Well, we know that to be true, don't we? You remember he told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the ends of the earth. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the Lord is at hand. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that any time, day or night, no matter where you are, you can say, Dear Heavenly Father, and you have the Father's ear. All right, the Lord is at hand. He is at hand in regard to space, but then Paul said the Lord is at hand. Another way to look at something at hand is in regards to time. I believe with all my heart that the day of the Lord is at hand, that we are near the day of the Lord. There is nothing that I see in the Bible that has to happen or that has to take place before the Lord returns for His church. I don't see anything that has to happen. Years ago, when I first started into the ministry, everybody was preaching on the end times, and they were saying, well, the apostasy has to take place. Well, folks, the apostasy is here. It is everywhere. And again, going back to the healthcare lie, that is evident in the fact that the nation is not outraged that our president stood up and lied to the American people. 50 years ago, oh my goodness, they would have impeached him already. but not today. I mean, not today in this old Laodicean age. Long as they have their cell phone, as long as they have their iPads, they're good. All right, just put the football game on, entertain them, and they're good. So, you know, that the apostasy is here. America does not go to church today. Or they go at Christmas time, and they go at Easter time, and but that's it. That's it. And we're seeing the apostasy. They came out with a thing the other day, and somebody found a book, and they said that Jesus married Mary Magdalene, and that he had children, lived several more years after the destruction of Jerusalem, and then died of old age. Well, no, he didn't. You can believe that foolishness if you want to, but I'm going to stick with the Bible. And the story in the headline was, this could turn Christianity on its head. Yeah, probably will turn quote-unquote Christianity with a small C on its head, but it sure didn't shake my faith. Did any of you read it besides me? Didn't shake my faith a bit. My Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I'm just going to stick with what God says and let everybody else, well, let every man and every man a liar. We're finding that out to be true, aren't we? You say, are you going to let that go? I doubt it. Yeah, I doubt it. All right, so the day of the Lord, it's at hand. And Joel here is seeing the day of the Lord. Now, over the last several weeks, I have been showing you passages of scripture in the Old Testament, prophecies that were made by David, and we've looked at Joel and Habakkuk and Zechariah and a couple others, and I've pointed out to you the various countries that God calls by name who will be present in this battle that the Lord is going to fight when he returns at his second coming. And we looked at Ezekiel 38 a few weeks ago, and we saw Turkey, and we saw Iran, and Libya, and Ethiopia, and the Sudan, and Lebanon, and Syria, and Egypt, and Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and Uzbekistan, and all those stand countries, all right? We looked at Habakkuk just two Wednesday nights ago, and we saw where Saudi Arabia is going to be in the fight, and Yemen, and Dubai, and Omar, and the United Arab Emirates, and Somalia. And we looked at, about a month ago, we looked at Jeremiah, at one chapter in Jeremiah, and we saw where the same nations that were spoken of by Habakkuk and spoken of by Isaiah are also mentioned in Jeremiah's writings as coming face to face with the wrath of the Son of God. And it's interesting that much of the book of Isaiah is devoted to this final clash between the Messiah and the Antichrist. Much of Isaiah has to do with our Lord's second coming. Yet when we actually look at the specific nations that are identified in as Isaiah calls it, the burden that he carried, and in the oracles, he used those two specific words as he gave his prophecy, we find out that along with Isaiah and Jeremiah and Habakkuk and Joel, all these nations are that God identifies, all these nations are, without exception, every one of them, without exception, are Muslim nations. Now, consider just out of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 13, he says Babylon will be there. In Isaiah chapter 14, he says Assyria and the Philistines will be there. Now, the Philistines is, that's the Palestinians. They're the Palestinians over there today that are living in Gaza and living in the West Bank. Those Palestinians are the descendants of the ancient Philistines. All right, so the Assyrians and the Philistines are mentioned in Isaiah 14. In Isaiah 15, you have Moab mentioned. Moab is southern Jordan, what is today southern Jordan. In Isaiah 17, he talks about the burden of Damascus. Damascus is the capital city of Syria and is the oldest city on the planet. Then in chapter 18, you have the Sudan and Somalia that are identified. And then in chapter 19, Isaiah saw Egypt in the battle. In chapter 20, he saw Egypt and Cush in the battle, which is Libya. And then again in chapter 21, he saw Babylon. He saw Edom, which is the Saudis, and he saw in chapter 23 Tyre, which is Lebanon. So again, whether you're in Jeremiah, whether you're in Isaiah, whether you're in Habakkuk, whether you're in Zechariah, when these men saw what was coming and they had a vision of the end battle, the battle of Armageddon and the coming of the Son of God to defend Israel. It doesn't matter which one of those books you're in. God names names of the countries, and the thing that identifies them is that every one of them is a neighbor to Israel, and every one of them is a Muslim nation. Now, does that sound like a 10-nation European confederation to you? It doesn't to me either. When I read the Old Testament prophets, I don't see Europe. I don't see Europe. And I know that we have been taught all of our lives that the Antichrist is coming out of Europe, and we have been taught that the Pope is going to be the false prophet that will come out of Rome, but I don't see that in the Bible. What I see is a crescent of nations starting in the north with Turkey and coming all the way around the little nation of Israel, this crescent of nations jumping over into northern Africa, and God names the names of each and every one of those countries. Now, what we need to do is let the facts of the Bible override our hatred of Adolf Hitler and what he did in Nazi Germany. We need to let the facts override our hatred of Joseph Stalin and all the millions of people that he murdered, and we need to let the facts override the fact that we just despise the Soviet Union and all that it stands for and all the wickedness that comes out of that place. But folks, when you read the prophets, you don't see Germany and Spain and France and Sweden and Ireland and the Swiss and Belgium and England. But what you do see is Egypt and Jordan and Lebanon and Syria and the Saudis and Iran and Iraq and Turkey and Libya and Somalia. That's what you see in the Bible. Now, you know, I'm just simply trying to get you to take literally what God is saying instead of allegorizing the obvious into a preconceived plan thought up by somebody who came up with a popular study Bible 100 years ago. All right? So just read the Bible and take it literally. When God says Egypt, he means Egypt. When God says Babylon, he means Babylon. He doesn't mean Rome. If he'd have meant Rome, he would have written Rome, but he said Babylon. And so just read the Bible and take it as it is written. All right, now, let me have you notice a couple of things here out of Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, verse 2, look at it. Joel saw a people. I want you to notice this. He said in verse 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. Now look at this. Joel saw a great people and a great, strong people. Now, I wonder who he saw. Well, I think he saw us, the redeemed. I think he is seeing this army that he is seeing here is all the redeemed who are coming back with the Lord at his return. We know, verse 1, we know that the Lord is here, right? We know that. I mean, he said very clearly, he said, for the day of the Lord cometh. So we know the Lord is there. And this event that he is describing here is the return of Christ, the literal second coming of Christ to this world. Christ appears for the day of the Lord. And there is, when he appears, a great war that breaks out. And with that war comes death and destruction everywhere. And if you look carefully at verse 2, he sees a great and strong people. Now, who is this? Well, I think it's us. Now, let's do a little Bible research here. Hold your place in Joel, and I want you to go back to the Psalms, to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Now, this is one of those messianic psalms where David is talking about the coming Messiah. And if you'll look at verse 1, it says, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him. Does that ring any bells? Joel 2, 3, does that ring any bells to you? Could it be possible that David was seeing the same thing that Joel saw? Sure. Same thing. He is prophesying here about the second coming of Christ. And notice he sees the same thing that Joel sees. Our God shall come, verse 3, and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Now watch verse 5. I just got glory bumps and I just looked at it. Look at verse 5. Gather my, what's the next word? Well, I declare. Do you remember the Apostle Paul in all those letters he wrote? He would say, to the saints which be at... What's a saint? That's a born-again person. That's a saved person. That's somebody who has been saved. Gather my saints together unto me. those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Wow. So David was seeing the exact same thing that Joel saw in Joel chapter 2. And David was seeing the exact same thing that John saw in Revelation 19, the second coming of Christ. All right, go over now to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And now here's Daniel having a vision of what's coming. And in verse 10, we read these words. Well, let's go back to verse 9. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. So Daniel saw the same person as John saw. White hair. Some of y'all got to jump on sainthood, don't you? Huh? Amen. And some of y'all went to the beauty saloon and got that taken care of. But aren't we all going to be surprised when we get to heaven and we got white hair? I don't know. So you got Bible for that? Nope, just this right here. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Look at verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. So you think Daniel saw the same thing David saw, and the same thing Joel saw, and the same thing John saw? Yeah. I think they're all seeing the return of Christ. So who is with him? We are. This army is us. This thousands and tens of thousands, that's us. When he comes back, he comes out of heaven, according to Revelation 19:14, and the verse says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, if you go back to Joel chapter 2 and verse 11, let me read it again. It says, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. So he is here. He is present on the earth. His voice speaks and his army hears it. You with me on that? All right? His voice speaks and his army hears it. He speaks, listen to me now, he speaks to the army because he is the commander of the army. He's the leader, the general. He is the head. Now, you follow me on this? All right, some of y'all got that look of doubt again. Go back to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. Let's show you from another prophet, from another perspective. Isaiah 12. In verse 1, it says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortedest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the, what's the next word? Midst of thee. In the midst of thee. Isaiah said that the Holy One of Israel is in the midst of Zion. Folks, the Lord is here. He is going to be here in this battle. He is the commander. He is the one that comes out of heaven, and then we come out of heaven with him. And Isaiah saw after the battle was over and the Lord had won the victory, and he was shouting praises to the Lord for his victory. And he said to everybody in verse 6, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now, why is he in the middle of Zion, of Jerusalem? Mount Zion is where Christ was crucified. Do you remember that? All right. And they call that today. That's Zion. That's still Mount Zion today. And the good news is for 44 of us in just a couple of weeks, we're going to see it. Yeah, it's wonderful. And it's still called Mount Zion today. And that Mount Zion is where Christ was crucified. It's where he paid the price. And it's just a stone's throw from the Temple Mount, where the temple used to sit. And the Lord is going to rule the world from the city of Jerusalem on Mount Zion. He will rule the world. And so here we are. The battle is fought. The battle is won. And Isaiah makes a cry to everybody in Jerusalem, to all of us who are there witnessing this and helping in the battle. And Isaiah said that we are to cry out and shout, for great is the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Man, what a day that's going to be. So again, here is the Lord, and he has a great army with him in this battle. And we will shout and we will praise his name when that victory is won. Look at Isaiah 13. Look at Isaiah 13, verse 1. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountains. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. Now, what's he saying there? Lift up a banner. Well, you put up a banner after you've won a victory. All right? You go up in our gym, and all along the wall are all the banners that we have won with our basketball team and our volleyball team and our soccer team, and the banners are up there on the wall. You put a banner up after you win. You with me on that? And so then look at what he said. Exalt the voice unto them. In other words, lift your voice up. Amen. Amen. We won. Hallelujah. Then look at, shake the hand. Hey, you watch a World Cup soccer game or a EPL, English Premier League soccer game on Saturday mornings. And when the game is over, the winning team comes over and they're doing it. Yeah, man, we won. Yeah, high five right there. See what I'm saying? That's the idea. Shake the hand. Be excited. Be thrilled. Get excited about what's coming. You're on the winning side. All right? And so, read on. He said, verse 3, I have commanded my sanctified ones. All right, now how many of you in here are saved? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. How many of you are sanctified in here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're saved, you're sanctified. Now you're not perfect. All right? You're not perfect. Sorry, John. I could have got Joyce's opinion on that. You're not perfect, but you are sanctified. See, you've been set apart. That's what the word sanctified means. It means to be cleansed. And you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. So Isaiah 13:3, I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people. Tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustered the host of the battle. So Isaiah saw the exact same thing that Joel saw. He saw the same thing David saw. He saw the same thing John saw. I mean, the same battle. And notice here that in verse 13, verse 3, Isaiah said, calls us mighty ones. Now, if you go back over to Joel, you will look and notice in verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. Who? These mighty ones. Us. You say, Pastor, doesn't the Lord know that I had a knee replacement? Doesn't the Lord know that I'm 85 years old? Pastor, doesn't the Lord know I have arthritis? Oh, yeah, he knows. But don't forget, all right, rapture, ruin, return. Right here is where he's coming back, and we're coming back with him. But don't forget that back here at the rapture, we get taken up. And when we get taken up, we are changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The good news is, you will be a mighty one when you come back here, because you're going to lose this old cursed body that you have now, and you're going to be given a glorified body like unto his glorious body, and therefore you'll fall on a sword and not get hurt. Right now I get a hangnail and I'm out of commission for a week. Kind of awesome, isn't it? Man, that's what's coming, folks. That's what's coming. So get the picture. It's the day of the Lord. Jesus is coming back with his saints. He is coming in great wrath to do battle against the armies of the Antichrist who have gathered to destroy Israel. So as Jesus comes, he brings us back with him. And according to Joel chapter 2, verse 3, when we come back, we are an army of mighty ones. Mighty ones. We are a great people and strong. And Joel said that the world has never seen anything like this, and the world will never see anything like this for generations to come. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? And that's what we got to look forward to, Christian. That's what we got to look forward to. I tell you, you turn the news on, and if you can get through 15 minutes without being depressed, you're doing something. You're doing something. You're probably doing a puzzle or reading a book while you're watching the news. If you can get through 15 minutes without getting depressed, man, it's a mess everywhere. But that's the way it's supposed to be. We're on the winning side. So keep your chins up. All right? All your chins. Keep them up. Because you're on the... All five of yours, John. Because you're on the winning side. You know, folks, I think sometimes we can look at our world and we can get down about it. But man, let's just keep our nose in the book, because the promises are there. And the promises of God are true.